They had stuff going on. Okay, here we go. So session three of our designing and delivering inclusive virtual professional development. And so here's our little opener. We've done, you know, like that's me, and we've done poetry. And today we're doing fact or fiction. If you want to play along, you can enter it into the chat. But there's going to be three slides. Each will have a statement, and you're going to decide if you believe it's fact or fiction. All right.
Okay, so fact or fiction, here we go.
14 or fewer hours of professional development has little to no effect on student outcomes or learning. Fact or fiction? All right, next one.
Are people putting in the chat, Christine?
I don't know, maybe. Yeah, a whole bunch.
So people are putting it in the chat now. What do you think, fact or fiction?
Which of course is a binary, which of course I don't like, but that's okay. All right, go ahead. Next one. At least 20 opportunities to practice a skill are usually needed to get to a change in practice or to master that new skill. At least 20 opportunities. And these are just speaking of teachers putting practices into their classroom. Okay, next one. There was a little controversy on the first one, Julie. Fact or fiction? Some studies have concluded that teachers may need as many as 50 hours of instruction, practice, and coaching before a new teaching strategy is mastered and implemented in the class. They're like, I'm on to you, Christy. Yeah. We're on to you. Yeah. So they're all facts. I mean, as factual as research can be, right, Julie?
Yeah, that's right. So just to review, I'm going to go backwards. And just so you know, 14 or fewer hours of professional development has little to no effect. So think about, what does that look like for us that provide professional development to humans? How do we make sure that we increase the effect on student outcomes and learning?
And you know, especially now when we can't get subs and we're going to poke holes in, you're like, well, we'll just do coaching. We're going to poke some holes in that as well. So part of this is important to understand from a quantity perspective. And then we have to overlay it with, you can do a lot of hours of crap. How's that for really technical language? And so we also want to think about the neurons that are firing. And so we're going to give you some ideas today beyond triggering the positive emotional attractor, beyond fun, and really think about, how do I make sure my learners are in optimal learning space? Okay. So that was just a quick opener. And then Julie's going to... we're going to just share a little gratitude, and then Julie's going to set the stage for today.
Yeah, we wanted to, that's good, Susan. Yeah, she wrote, you can do a lot of hours of crap. I wanted to do the exact same thing, and you did, you, beautiful. So yeah, we can say, Dr., yeah, Christy Pretty-Frunzek, beautiful. we just wanted to share deep, deep gratitude for you. It's been so lovely to see you all, to get to know you, that you're joining us each time. We've received several kind emails, and we just want to say thank you for sending them. Your enthusiastic participation, for being yourself, and just for adding energy to our class. And Susan, that's a perfect example, is all of you in lots of ways are co-teaching right along with us, and feel free to do that. Keep joining in and share your own energy and sense of humor as we do this work together.
Speaking of energy, this is one of my favorite teachings from Julie. So what you're going to see on this slide was just another idea of like how to begin a session, but we're going to pull out two of these bullets. And the first one, it really is a game changer. So Julie, tell us about that, and then I'll do the emergency one.
If you're going to have one rule or one agreement, my favorite is the green one that says, be responsible for the energy you bring to the space. When we work with big groups of people and we use that as our cornerstone or way of engaging, it brings out the very best in human beings. And so we really ask people to think about that they're contributing positive energy, that they're bringing joyful, creative, engaging, graceful energy to the room or the virtual room. And that alone is a really nice touchstone for people. So we wanted to highlight that. And then we wanted to highlight something logistical for you.
So when you're doing things virtually, that, you know, we don't talk about it as much now, but back in March and April, people were talking a lot about being Zoom bombed and other things like that. In general, it's a good idea to think about what is your emergency plan. So if you lose power, if you do get Zoom bombed, if somebody has some sort of tech issue on their end that you can't resolve, but really this is sort of for the masses. If there's an emergency, what are you going to do? So let's say that you're the host and it shuts down. You need a plan up a priori. There, I'll use a big higher legal word. Yeah. A priori, where that you ahead of time tell folks, this is what'll happen. We're going to email you and tell you what to do next, or we're going to post in the Google Drive, or we're going to post on the Padlet, or here's a backup number you can call to get information. Whatever might make sense for your group, even if it's a small group, it's good to have an emergency backup plan when technology might fall for you, fail or fail for them.
And Alicia said, oh my gosh, I needed this on Saturday for my 3-hour CEU, train wreck, wreck with tech. Yeah, this happens all the time. And Christy was the one who thought to do this for our really our biggest training that we've ever done together. And of course there was a hurricane during it, right? And so it was genius that she had thought of it, told everybody where to head, and everyone was able to stay relaxed. And we were able to email to say, give us an hour and we'll join you again, you know, that kind of stuff. So, just really smart to have that plan in place. I wouldn't have thought of it.
All right. So that was another little tip. And then we always do this. Remember, rituals are really important. The human brain loves predictability. And it also just continues to remind groups, like Julie said, about touchstones or agreements or ground rules, whatever you kind of like to use in terms of terminology. We usually talk about our approach, because instead of telling adults how to behave, we just say how we're going to show up in this space so that they know what to expect and they know what to, like, what our values are, versus telling them to be kind and respectful per se. We're just saying that that's what we're going to do, and we kind of expect that of all humans in this space. So Anybody changing how they're taking notes today? Anybody have a new pen? Anybody have a new way? Yeah, Julie's always getting new pens.
Yeah, I know. Share in the chat. If you don't know about Posca right now, everybody, these are my new favorites. They're Posca's paint markers. For one, they're fun to shake. For two, so it's just like painting. And so they're great for headings.
I still have my black pen.
Pink paper, Lisa Jones. Yes.
Fine. Pink paper. Okay, good.
Oh, good. Katie, you've seen ads for them. Just, they're worth it. Go ahead and do it. They're so fabulous. Okay. Again, for each of the big ideas, outline, draw, or write the big idea and how you can apply it. So constantly be thinking, ooh, that emergency example, how do I apply it? What's an emergency like for me? What's possible for me?
And we've been getting lots of ideas from you all. That's why we started the Padlet today. And there's going to be a couple of opportunities for you to share what you're applying, because the magnitude of what we can learn from each other is so amazing. So keep it coming in the chat. And Gail, just as a heads up, we're going to hopefully have a minute for you to show, I'll do your PowerPoint for you, but you can show folks your adult choice board and stuff like that. So just a heads up. Okay, so today, 3 of our 4, we only have one more left. But today, even though we're going to be talking about technology, don't worry, this is not going to be a how-to, but it's going to be talking about the framework and how we approach technology and connect it back to things that we've already learned.
So our outcomes today, use technology to facilitate and support change. We believe that most of you are supporting or facilitating some change in the human brain. So whether that's learning new information, whether you're sharing new ideas or a new way of thinking or new approaches, we're really helping you think about change in a different way. We want you to think about aligning your outcomes with web-based tools. Today, we're gonna start redesigning virtual sessions, and we've got a really cool way to think about it. And then learning from our mistakes. Christy and I have made many, we're making them now probably. And we just want you to be able to avoid common pitfalls. And we even have a place on the Padlet that is for pitfalls. And so if you're someone who's like, oh my gosh, I want to warn everyone here, be careful of this, or watch for this, or try this. We're just sharing information so that everybody can be several steps ahead.
Well, I think one of the really good examples of the pitfall was during week 1, when folks said, are we allowed to play music live stream music and what are the pitfalls or the advantages or disadvantages and so forth. So those are really helpful things to keep sharing as well. Okay, so as Julie said, this is sort of how it will go. We revisit openings. I don't know. I think the way you kick it off is so important. And so one of the pitfalls is try not to do housekeeping first. Julie and I have a big event on Thursday and our hosts said to us, well, we have 15 minutes that we'd like. And we're like, can you have it at the end? Because we didn't want them to ruin our ability to connect right out of the gate. Get right into the content, get right into the relationship building, get right into sharing and setting the stage. If it's all about reading bios and it's, you know, here's our schedule and here's this presenter and thanks so-and-so for sponsoring us. There's a time and a place for that, certainly, but maybe not the opening. So we want to give you a couple more ideas. We're going to do some breakout conversations because we know you all are fabulous and we want you to have a chance to experience breakouts if you haven't as a participant. I was telling Julie that like back in, I don't know, it had to have been like 97 or 98 when I taught my first online course at Kent State University. The best advice I got was be a student in an online course. Then you will know how to teach an online course. And I swear that set the stage for me for all eternity. And so we want you to think of this from the participant's perspective and then have that influence you. We're going to revisit how to get brains in the optimal space. And then we'll hit today's objectives, which is about tech, redesign, common pitfalls, and then wrap it up by 1:15 Eastern time.
Okay. So we've got... we have more of an opening. Christy shared this with me today and I almost died. So please take a minute, soak it in. I have so many questions and you can add your questions too. My questions started with what movie star does she look like? And that I had three ideas there. Second question was why a hay bale?
Yes, this is my senior picture, Pam, from 1988.
Right?
And then my why am I by a hay bale? Oh, because it was Idaho.
Sherry guessed it. Looks like Baby of Dirty Dancing.
Exactly. Before the nose job.
Yeah, that is so fabulous. Nobody puts KBF in the corner. Yeah, Emily, thank you. Thank you for that. The next time we're in real life, I'm going to learn how to lift her over my head and we're going to video it. It's going to be amazing.
We're not.
Yeah, we are. It's going to be great. Okay.
That's enough of that.
Yeah. Something else you might not know about me. So we're just sharing further. So as you know, you're learning more and more about us, which we think is really helpful to connect. My superpower is time management and organization. Every morning I wake up early and I spend an hour getting set for the day where I put in all my priorities in 15 minute increments all the way till bedtime. And I can accomplish more in a day than anything. I would say it's a superpower and probably a real challenge in my life too, because I'm pretty obsessed. So my children often say, can we do something that's not on the agenda and stuff like that? So yeah, it's an attribute, Pam, that's for sure. It's kind of how I've managed my ADHD, but it also gets in the way and it's also amazing.
I would say that you're also a time bender. And so one thing I wanted to share, this Susan Connor that's on today, we learned this on Friday, I guess it was from Jeff, but a more mindful way or maybe an additional way, what Julie didn't share, is that not only does she map it all out, which sounds very clinical or very prescribed or very planned, she also does a lot of reflection and journaling and thinking about what she wants out of the day. Notice she said priorities. Well, how does she know what her priorities are? And so Jeff was talking to this group of early intervention leaders in Illinois on Friday, and he said he opens everything up. So let's say she's got her 15 minutes all chunked out. For me, I would have do you guys know how to make groups in your Google Chrome tabs yet? Total game changer. Amazing. If not, put it in the chat. I'll send you how to do it. But you can group all your tabs and color code them and label them and make them all beautiful. Anyway, he puts it all out in front of him, which could be overwhelming, right? Either all the tabs that are open, three screens that are open, 18 journals that are open, whatever it is. And then he sits for 10 or 15 minutes in reflection, just with all the noise at looking at him, and just says, basically, I'll get to you when I'm grounded and ready. So I love this sort of light and dark and this mixture of, I chunked it out by 15 minutes, but I also deeply reflected on what are my values today? What's important to me? So it's more than time management and organization. I think she's really a time bender. So
yeah, I'll use an example.
Google tabs. Elaine, I'll drop you the chat here in a minute. Okay.
Oh, yeah. And Elaine, you can put emojis in for each of your tabs, because I don't like to read each tab each time. So you could have emojis for each thing. It's just going to blow your mind. I'm just going to give an example. So not only do I have a 15-minute, you know, time schedule for today, the whole day, I also say there's just a thought that I have, which is, what is the quality of information I'm feeding my mind today? So that's a question that I'm asking myself.
Say
and
that
I'm
again,
making
Julie.
What is the quality of information I'm feeding my mind today? So I'm making sure that I'm thinking about the discussions that I'm having with people. I'm thinking about what I'm allowing in, what I'm not allowing in, just as a way to set my intention. And every day I have different intentions. But anyway, that's a lot about me.
Yeah. Well, and we can't help but share, and like the chickens. And sorry, Rhonda, I accidentally private chatted you. So make sure if you want your responses to go to everyone, it says everyone in the blue. Okay. Girls, you got the hand out for the chicken?
So Lisa and Tony Ann are going to send you the handout for the chicken. We worked on this for a while. And then even Pam, who's in this class, we sent it to her and she provided some really useful ideas. Essentially remembering that fun always matters. And for fun, we're just putting an example of 20 ways to use a rubber chicken to create more novelty and fun in any training that you have. So you could decide if you want one rubber chicken or a collection. And I've got both, and I can't tell you how often they've been useful. There's a handout. You can grab it now. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So now we're going to, as promised from last week, and if you weren't here last week, don't worry. We're going to have you go into random breakout rooms. So we always alert folks, because this is your chance to go, am I going to want to go? Because you can choose to like step out for a minute. Julie, how long are we going to have for this activity in case people need to step out, want to step out?
We're going to have 6 full minutes. And this is what we're going to be doing. So if you're looking at the screen, just so you're someone, if you're nervous about it, you're first going to decide your roles. We'll tell you more about that. I noticed Adele taking a picture of it. Genius. You can take a screenshot or a photo.
It's also in your key PowerPoint slides for anybody that downloaded the key PowerPoint slides for today.
You have, besides deciding your roles, which should be about a 30-second task, it's only for fun, but it's just to remind people about creating roles. The first big question is, what have you learned so far together? What's really been like an aha moment, a big idea, something that's really you've learned? And then the second big question is, how has virtual teaching improved what is possible? So that big idea of, hey, sometimes going virtual has been a challenge, but what has improved because you've gone virtual? That's the next question.
And does anybody know what that question just did to our brains? Does anybody remember our acronym or our John Deere word? That third one triggers, yes, Sarah, it triggers the PEA. So just asking what is possible or what could be possible or what has improved versus asking, hey, how hard has virtual learning been for you? So we're triggering that positive emotional attractor just in the questions that we ask. Okay. So when we send you off in your groups, a couple things remain the same. Cameras on, cameras off. We're not doing them by choice today. We're doing them randomly. There are answers to your questions about how to do participant choice breakout rooms in the participants handbook that girls will put in the chat. But the most important thing is you're going to practice your love boat roles. So let's go back a slide, Julie. So when she says decide on your roles, we are giving you an option. Other way. There you go.
I know. Yeah, trying. Mm-hmm.
And if we brought this up last week, some of you might still not know what the love boat is. Some of you might still be singing the love boat theme. We'd like it if you had a captain that was sort of made sure everybody knew what the tasks were, assigned folks as needed, brought stuff back to the group when we come back. Gopher is anybody that can go find something, maybe finds the questions, asks us to join you. The bartender, again, not really drinking bartender drinks, but making sure everyone is safe, seen, soothed, and secure. The doctor is really going to think about emotional mental health, remind folks, cameras on, cameras off, really do deep listening. And then Julie's going to do anything she can, even if Julie's not Julie, and to cultivate fun. You got it? So what are your three things? You remember, drop in the chat. First thing, when you get into your breakout room, you're going to, and then you have two questions. You want to paraphrase them, drop them in the chat, get them on your notes.
So I'm going to have people paraphrase them first, and then I'll share with you what they are again. First, Stephanie, assign roles. What's the second move, everybody?
This is a good thing to go, oh, was I really listening? Do I remember?
What have you learned so far? Uh-huh. Big ideas. And then what's possible because of virtual learning? So now I'm showing you the visual. Again, if you want to grab it, you may. And I'm about to send you into breakout rooms. Beautiful. So everyone's got their tasks. Have fun, relax. Just don't spend too much time on the roles. Jump into what you've learned so far and how virtual teaching has improved what is possible.
You have 6 minutes with a 1 minute warning to your group broadcast. So just notice too how it feels to be transported. Notice all of this from the learner's perspective. All right, Julie, go for it.
Okay, here you go. Have fun.
I'm back. Do you need anything?
Let's set the timer. Alexa, set a 6 minute timer.
So this is where I might need to help you a little bit. Some folks are going to come in. They've just joined the main thing and we're going to need to tell them what we're doing. Okay. All right. So anybody who is still in the main room, you may have stepped away from your computer. You may have just gotten here, or you may need some tech support. We are doing a 6 minute small group. If you would like to be in a random small group and you can just listen, you don't have to know what we're doing, but these are the three things they're talking about. Let us know, unmute yourself or drop in the chat, say, send me to a room. If you need tech support, unmute yourself or drop in the chat and we'll give you help. Otherwise, hang tight for 6 minutes and we'll be back as a whole group.
So Christy, Sarah, Nick.
You've had some opportunity to do some really creative trainings now. Virtual that we may not have been able to, and we put them together like super quick. So I think that's been really, really kind of cool.
Uh-huh. Really cool. And do you have an example of one that comes to your mind?
Well, I know that I've been involved in three, but the two that I'm thinking of is right at the beginning of COVID, we put together a calm in the chaos of COVID. And it was really a lot about self-care and about how acknowledging how hard it is and how we could do things a little bit different and maybe thinking outside the box about our service provision and all that. And people, it seemed really well received. And then like currently in November, I'm doing a Monday morning mindfulness seminar, like a mini discussion series that's been super fun. And it's had a different topic each week. And it seems like it's the same 20 people. It's really small. And it's the same 20 people kind of coming back and we're learning from each other. And it's been really a nice way to start my Monday, actually.
Right. Yeah. And I would say the theme that I hear from those, Megs, is that you're thinking about the wholeness of the adult learner, where before we may not have always thought about their wholeness, and you're really reaping the benefits of that. So those are great examples. Thank you. Other things, other ones, folks want to comment, or Julie, anything you want to pull out of the chat?
Yeah, I just noticed Janice said more people contribute because of the chat. Think about that. When you're presenting on a stage, most people are quiet unless you're doing a lot of turn and talks, which I do often. But think about it. You're getting to contribute the whole time and it's not rude. And everybody is being able to engage more frequently. So I love it.
And sometimes when I notice your mics are open, folks, I'm just calling you out to say, did you want to talk? Christina or Ted, did y'all want to talk or say anything? Or just want to check your mic is cool too.
Just to chime in.
But I would say one of the things I've noticed is opportunities for more access, especially like trying to engage families and things in early intervention. It's always been hard to get them physically to come out and do it within their, you know, schedule and time frame. And now with virtual, there's more access and opportunities, and it's more on an equal footing that they're not the only ones participating virtually in a training or a meeting or whatever. It's like everybody is. So there's an inequality to it. So.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Ted.
Yeah. And I was just going to say at Sewell here in Denver, when we have been doing professional development, we have a couple of people that are on medical leave, but they still want to participate in the PD sessions, and they're able to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
Or if you had a sick kid or your car broke down or you didn't, it's sort of limited. And now it's sort of like, well, call by the phone or come and go, you know, drop in for a few minutes and leave. It's not like we all watch you walk out. Okay.
Right. I just want, just so you know, my hope is to pull from the chat. So I'm saying this for Lisa, pull from the chat, these two big ideas, just to have a way to talk about what people have learned so far and what's the beauty of virtual, because I think it's important to start to think about what is the beauty and the possibility here. And like folding your laundry, Kimmer, yes, that is fabulous. Love it.
Okay. I have a few things to add. Oh, I was just going to say that for our staff, for our clinic, we were able to start meditation Mondays. So we're able to, like at our universal lunch period, do like 10 minutes of yoga, chair yoga with our staff, and a 10-minute guided meditation with one of my friends, but we couldn't do it before because she's not close to our office. Mm. And we also usually have like a 25% no-show cancellation rate for our therapy sessions, and we've reduced that to 12% since COVID.
Good examples. I agree. We're able to, even Julie and I are able to bring in more of our colleagues and more voices and more experts because we don't have to all fly around or travel around. All right, good. We'll make sure we'll kind of mine this for nuggets and get it back out to y'all as well.
Great. So that's just another example of an opener. And you had an option for getting into a breakout room there. Not an option, but we sent you to a breakout room. And just a reminder, Christy said many people had breakout room questions. They're in your handbook and they've been answered. So those questions are answered for you.
Yeah. And if I didn't answer them well, come back around. All right, Julie, it's 12:40. So how many minutes do you want to spend on this chunk?
I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to be talking, Christy, do you want to intro it? And then I'll figure out what would work best.
Yeah, so we started off saying that, you know, you need 14 hours or more, or 20 hour more opportunities, or more than 50 of these. It was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get these humans to get this quantity of good PD? And then I said the notion about you can do a lot of crappy PD. And then a lot of us have said, oh, the answer is, we need to do coaching. We need to do more one-on-one. But I know there are a lot of coaches in here who would say, I've been doing a lot of coaching. I still haven't seen a lot of change in practice. And this comes from one of our colleagues, Dale, in saying that helping teachers change their behavior is a lot harder than helping children change their behavior. And part of that is because of the ingrained nature of their brain is already, by 6.5 years old, pretty much everything is set. Doesn't mean you can't change, doesn't mean you can't learn, doesn't mean that there's not continued plasticity, but by about 6.5, your temperament, your attachments, your habits, your beliefs, your neural pathways, all of that good stuff, locked in. So now we're undoing or rewiring or trying to make that rut in the road not so deep. So Julie and I are going to talk to you a little bit about how to get adults to be in the optimal zone of learning. So coaching really for me isn't the always the answer to the quantity. So if we've got to have more touches or more PD or more learning opportunities, for me it's peeling the onion back a little bit, as our friend Peg in Iowa would say, right, Pam? We've got to peel back the onion. And so really what might be some of the magic comes from attachment science. So any of you who are long-term attachment science folks, there's really new stuff that Stuart Shanker talks about, but that's a whole other side. So we're going to talk about the four S's as it applies to adult learners. And Julie, do you want me to, let me do a little bit more and then you'll do the hand, okay?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so this comes from Tina Payne Bryson and Dan Siegel, who you know probably, any of you who work with young children and or families, you know their work around the power of showing up, the yes brain, no drama discipline, the whole brain child, blah, blah, blah. We're going to switch this for a minute and think about what does this statement mean for adult learners, whether they're in, you know, still forming their brains in their mid-20s, early in mid-20s, or they're like us, me, who's been 25 more than once. So this statement, you have to Peter Pan believe it. And we often talk about this with children, but I want you to Peter Pan believe it for your most resistant adult you know. So if you can for a minute, visualize the most resistant adult you've ever met. You can see them, you can hear them, maybe you can feel them because they made you like get all sweaty and you start talking really fast, or maybe it shut you down. Do you Peter Pan believe for that adult that it is rarely a choice about which state to be in? And this does not mean, you know, Hawaii or Ohio. This means emotional state. Am I in a place of regulation where I have balance between energy and tension, or am I hyper aroused or hypo aroused? Those are emotional states or regulatory states. So rarely is it a choice about which state to be in. The nervous system automatically determines which response seems most adaptive, not socially appropriate, but most adaptive for the situation. And what happens by the time you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, you've actually created maladaptive ways to self-regulate. And so the body goes on autopilot and says, "Don't you worry, Miss Julie, I've got this." And it might look like a hot mess, but it feels perfect for Julie's inner system that's not talking to her upstairs brain. And she's, the data is using what's happening in the moment, what's happened in the past, even generationally, and then whatever her innate temperament is, which is already set by about 6.5 years of age. So Julie's been this way, this ADHD as an attribute, this way of thinking about time has been set without her awareness for decades. Now, if I want to change her behavior, it's going to take a lot of energy. So how do I get her in a place that's ready for optimal learning? All right, Julie, go ahead. Next slide. So when we talk about it, do one more click. There are these stressors, and we go back one. Yeah. So this also comes from Stuart Shanker. You know, you Canadians, you have lots of good stuff up there. And Stuart Shanker from the Merit Center, as you think about adults, these are the stressors that take learners out of the optimal learning, about this homeostasis. There's biological reasons. So drop in the chat if anybody has chapped lips, if anybody's hungry, if anybody's tired, if anybody's cold, if anybody's hot. If you're like something biologically doesn't feel right inside you, you can go, "That's me." And there's these different domains. And so even if you're now I'm drawing your awareness to it, right, Maria? And Rhonda's like, "I was trying to forget I had a headache." It's happening below your threshold of awareness. However, it's bombarding your system. And if you're hungry and cold, Jess, and you have multiple things, it's taking more and more and more of your energy. And so you might get, you know, a little short with somebody. You might react in a way that you wouldn't normally. When all of these stressors are impacting a human, they have a really hard time changing. And so the pro-social domain, I put that up there because any of us, all of us, right, that are living during a global pandemic, almost all of these are true of us every day. And this is 1/5 and just a handful of examples from one domain. And you will probably all answer yes to most of those stressors. So we have to recognize first that humans, their bodies, ours, theirs, ours, are under a ton of stress. Not stress like we used to think about, like I gotta pay my mortgage, I gotta have this PowerPoint done on time, but biological, pro-social, cognitive, social, and emotional. Last night, I called my virtual assistant, Ashley. We were without power. It had been a long day, lots of stuff with my parents, on and on and on. And I said, Ashley, my prefrontal cortex is offline. I need your help. So what did I mean by that, Julie, in your thinking? When I said to Julie, I said to Ashley, my prefrontal cortex is offline, help me.
Yeah. So just a reminder, I know we did this before, but just a reminder, everything, remember Christy talked about the hand model of the brain. Everything good that you want your learners to do happens in the frontal cortex or the prefrontal cortex. And everything that is not planned out happens in the trunk or the backseat or the brainstem or the, a lot of people say lizard brain, et cetera. And so remember we talked about the limbic brake and what happens when our lid is flipped. And as Christy said, all those things can get us to this state of, ooh, our lid is flipping. And our job as educators is to keep people's lids on, keep the brake on, right? So that we can get this good stuff, which is where learning happens. And so you'll notice that a lot of the stuff we do, I'll give an example, Christy's email that she sends out to you that's like, here's a checklist, hoping you're ready. That is to say, don't you worry, we're okay, you're okay, you know what to do. And it helps your lid stay on so that you can get to the very best learning.
So it's just a reminder that if you want adults to change, you've got to have them in the optimal state of learning, meaning they're at a minimum, the lid has to be like put downable. I don't know what the word is. Like it'll be allowed through co-regulation, as Shyla said, it'll let you. Sometimes it will let you. Sometimes people's lids flip and they just are really stiff and you will try and try and try and it's just really hard to get the lid back on. So what do we do? And Julie's gonna give you examples that you can do to soothe the system, but just know that the handout that the girls are gonna drop in the chat, and notice I've said girls a couple of times, and in a minute, Julie's gonna invite us to use gender neutral. I use that because I know both Lisa and Tony's pronouns. And so put a pin in that conversation for a minute. Okay, anyway, okay. You need the four S's that comes from attachment science. Humans need to feel safe, seen, soothed, and secure. Okay. And there's a handout that they just dropped in there. Thank you, Tony. If you open it up, I'm going to open it really quick, Julie, and share it. So I'm going to share my screen. I just want to show them how this works. And then I'm going to let you go on from there. That's okay.
Great. I love this stuff.
Talking about the four S's, how do you get the lid to stay on, get back on, be agreeable to being on. There are 8 pages of this document. One speaks from sort of like a practitioner or a family, like a parent's perspective. And so in the left-hand side of all of these graphics, it defines one of the four S's, and then it tells you what you do. If you scroll down beyond the four purple ones, you will see sort of this blue, and this is what leaders do. This is what professional development providers, what faculty, somebody that's helping other adults. And so again, it will tell you what each of the four S's means. What does it mean for a human to feel safe, seen, soothed, secure? Julie's gonna give you a couple of examples that apply to our work in delivering PD virtually. And then we've given you how-tos. What do I do as a PD provider to ensure adults feel safe, seen, soothed, and secure? So you have that as a handout and as a resource. So I won't go into it deeply today, but just know this is a nugget that you could like rabbit hole, spend some time in.
And worth the time that you spend in that rabbit hole. I think this stuff is magic. And if you haven't spent time with it, many of us that have been doing this work for a long time do a lot of these things intuitively. But to spend a little bit more time taking a deeper dive to see what else don't you do intuitively and what else could you do to support your learners and get them into the four S's, feeling safe, seen, soothed, and secure. Okay. Those are the four S's. And what we want to do is...
Go ahead and skip that one, Julie. It's okay.
Okay. We're just helping you use these examples in your own work. So please feel free in the chat if you have really easy and lovely ways to do this. One thought we were having today is thinking about change itself, okay? The process of change. If you've not seen this change process model, we love it. And I'm just gonna talk you through it, okay? Any change that you're asking people to make. So in my work and Christy's work, we're often helping people create inclusive schools. And I'm going to be honest to tell you that that is, for many, a very emotional change, okay? It's upsetting, it's different, it's not what they were taught, and it sometimes goes against their core values that they've grown up with. And so what we try to do is help people see that every change, humans go through this cycle. The first is loss, the next is doubt. That's where you see the skeptics, right? The next is discomfort. That's anxiety, confusion, unproductive. Then there's the danger zone. The red part is the danger zone. And what that means is people are very likely to abandon the change altogether at that moment because it doesn't feel worth it. So our job as PD providers is to help people through those stages all the way to discovery, all the way to understanding, to the point of integration. Integration is when people feel satisfied, they're focused, their behavior is generous, and they really love what they're doing. Virtual learning is a good example. Many of us have gone through all these stages and we're to the point of, you know, some of us are feeling really good. Like, I can't wait to show you or share with you what I've already learned. Some of us are just like, I don't even know if I should be doing this any longer, right? We're still at that loss or doubt phase. And so any change, every human goes through a lot of phases. Anytime I have an adult with what I'll call challenging behavior in my audience, which is almost every time, instead of seeing it as challenging behavior, I think, oh, they're somewhere in that change process. And I try to respond with empathy and love and connection, no matter how it's making me feel, okay? So I'll use the word skeptic, for example. There are many times when I start presenting and they start to say, where's the research behind inclusion? Or they start to grill me or start to, right? That's the skeptic getting worried about if this is a good idea or not. And in my response, if I stay in this process of, okay, they're just at stage two, they're just learning, and I can see them in that stage, I can respond in much better ways than I do when I'm actually affronted with this idea.
And Laura, you're so right. It is very hard. We're going to drop in the chat a blog again. I had a conversation, some of you know my good friend Laura Fish, and we talked about seeing the adult behind the behavior. We've always talked about seeing the child behind the behavior. I need to work really hard on seeing the adult. If the older you are, the harder it is for me to see you. I get annoyed. I get my own issues, my lid flips and so forth. So just to Jess's immediate example, yeah, think about Winnie the Pooh. Can you restory that adult and see them not as skeptical, but as cautious learner that needs to have more time or more security of what hasn't changed? And then definitely check out the blog where I interview Laura Fish and we talk about 8 or 10 ways to see the adult behind the behavior.
Beautiful. Okay. I want to talk about names and then I want to pause, Christy, and do that exploration activity, if that's okay.
Yeah, we better.
Okay. So just so you know, someone put it in here. They said, I love being virtual because I can see everyone's name. It's genius because you're not calling on people. You haven't forgotten names. You could read their names. And I've been thinking a lot about what does it mean to be seen? And for people who have, from a white perspective, from a non-duolingual perspective, a hard to pronounce name. So that already is a challenging way to look at it. What we notice is that people who don't have an easy name to pronounce for most people or for white people, they can feel very othered by that moment when you can't pronounce their name, right? Or when someone can't pronounce their name. And so what I've been doing is looking at what do people prefer? And folks usually prefer to say that if they ask to pronounce it again, and don't tell a long story about how beautiful or challenging it is to pronounce your name, but instead just kind of move on and keep that in your mind, keep the pronunciation. Also remember to be an ally. If you hear someone else's name being mispronounced, help correct it. And then we just want you to make sure that you can also have people rename themselves virtually with the pronunciation. And so sometimes that helps and saves me a lot, because I have a lot of stress as a presenter about saying the wrong name or screwing up someone's name. And we want to share again with you why pronoun use is so critical in your participation with your people. And so why gender pronouns? If you haven't explored why gender pronouns, we really would love it if you took a look at Tony Ferriello's video that we're going to put on. Is it already up, Christy?
Did you want the video up?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'll do that. I just put his website up.
Yeah. We really want you to take a look at Tony Ferriello.
And the ginger person thingy. Yeah. Okay. I got it.
Yeah. So Tony Ferriello is a friend of ours who is a transgender man who has done great work with schools and systems about being transgender. And I love what he said. Is he said to have a singular and visible gender identity is a privilege. Meaning when I look at you, if I can tell your gender pronoun preference, then that's a privilege. And if you haven't thought about that, that's a privilege. You haven't had to think about that. Not everybody has this privilege, right? So you can't always tell what someone's gender pronouns are by looking at them. And it's much more inclusive to make gender pronouns clear. So I wanted to make sure you understood that. This is Tony Ferriello. If you haven't seen his movie, we're going to show his presentation he did with us.
We have some SLI folks. So anybody from the Summer Leadership Institute, this is already in your library, but I'll make sure it's on everybody on the dashboard by the end of today.
Yep. And so be thinking about taking a deep dive if this is new to you in both Tony's story, his presentation, and he also has a film out called The Making of a Man or Self-Made Man or something like that. And that's fabulous to watch too. Practice your gender neutral terms. So what are your favorite gender neutral terms when you address a group? We would love to see that in the chat below.
And knowing there's pros and cons of all of them, but yeah, Maria, I've been using folks a lot too.
Learners, folks, y'all, peeps. I like scholars when I'm working with kids. Make sure you
do chat to everybody.
Family, friends, yeah, amigos. Mm-hmm. And so the more I work with folks that have transitioned in their gender, the more I realize that all of these moments are microaggressions when calling someone boys and girls, or if you're non-binary, what that does or what that looks like or what that feels like. So we've got to really step up our gender neutral terms and practice and practice and practice. Okay.
We'll do the activity and they can break if they need to. How's that as a blend?
That's perfect.
Okay.
Okay. We want you to remember that your what before your how. And Christy, do you want to intro this and then I'll jump into the Padlet?
Yeah. So we're not going to do what before how, and we're doing that on purpose. So what Julie's allowing me space for is to remind you that it's sacred to do what before how, but we're going to dive into the deep end without any flotation device. And we're just going to get into the how, and Julie's going to explain why, but you're going to go to the Padlet. We're going to explain what it is, what you're going to do there. If you need to stand up, move around. Julie, how many minutes will we have for the activity and what time will we return? It's the top of the hour.
Yep. So we'll return at 1:10. So people have 10 full minutes.
Whatever
play.
Time zone you're in 10 minutes. So if you want to step out now while we're given directions, go for it. Be back in 10. Otherwise, we're going to set you up for an exploration and You can watch, you can participate. If you've already participated, you can see what others have done. You can take a nap. You're going to have 10 minutes and then we'll bring you back and get some closure to today. All right. So don't forget what before how, but right now we're purposefully doing how only.
We just wanted to create a really fabulous collection of your favorite things, because we know that we're working with people that have had really lots of experience with technology tricks and tips and things of that nature. So I have created the Padlet and put, if you haven't done a Padlet, this is a genius way to organize information. It can basically be your dashboard, right? You can just use a Padlet and create your own dashboard like we have. And so what I did is I put recording space, games, content building tools, connection, polling, communication. I'm not sure where to put this, meaning I don't know, I want to share this, but I don't know where to put it. Doesn't matter, just stick it there. And then that is all. So we're just going to basically spend time on these right here. People are doing it right now. They're adding their favorite things. And if you don't have anything to add, jump in and learn. So let's say you've done Flipgrid before or haven't done Flipgrid before, jump in and learn more about it. You can just click on these and learn. Okay. Christy, my plan is to be quiet for 10 whole minutes, okay. But if anyone has a question before they jump in, let us know your question.
Brandy, I'm not sure. You're looking for the Padlet. I've not done it on my phone, so if others have. It's also embedded in our dashboard, Brandy. So if you can get to the dashboard, you should be able to interface and interact with the Padlet without having to do anything new or different.
Well, I'm on Padlet. Like I have Padlet on my phone.
Oh, you were trying to do something else.
No, I'm trying to find this in Padlet.
Okay, so Brandy, do you see in the chat the link to this particular Padlet?
The girls will drop it again. Girls, yeah. Lisa, can you drop it again?
Yeah. So Brandy,
inclusive schooling /.
Yeah, but I'm on my.
I see. So
I'm just on my phone, but I'm zooming on my computer. So it's just two different devices. That's all. Okay. I'll figure it out.
Okay. We're not helping.
Well, I can see it on my computer.
Thank you, Lisa. That's necessary. Yeah. So to come full circle, you can go backwards. So if you find something fun, you can still align it to your mix of six. So let's say I found something like a virtual vision board. So what I can do, and I dropped it in the chat, is I can align that to something like, oh, this is an outcome where you're able to share and organize your text. If I want my participants to really be able to share or organize text, they could do a virtual vision board. If I want self-reflection, and that's a key part of the mix of six, then I could do a virtual vision board. And then lastly, if I want multiple means of representation, that could be. So again, you can go backwards if that makes sense and get excited, go into the Padlet, find something fun. I'm just going to invite you to always tie it back to a significant learning outcome as well.
Great. And I want to add that the Padlet is there for you to use and keep and play with. We just wanted you to know it's there. When you find something that's kind of magical that you're really into, put it there, because everyone's going to continue to have access to it. Padlet alone is a gold mine. Like, I actually love Padlet as just probably the most useful flexible tool. So just be kind of thinking about how you can use this.
Well, and like Julie said, like I have a team of like 35 leaders in the great state of Colorado, some are on here. And we're just using a Padlet as we put our Zoom links on there. We put our handouts, we put directions, we put questions, we put answers, we put resources. So instead of a Moodle or a Google Drive doc, we're doing just a Padlet. And that's our home base for the whole 9 months project.
Yep.
Okay, next week.
So for next week, we are going to jump more into lesson redesign. And what we wanted you to do before next week, or even today, is go to the Padlet and you'll see this one spot where we say something that you used to do while you were in person that you're really struggling to do virtually. So my example is I used to do this thing called a massively multiplayer thumb war as this really fun opener. Well, I certainly can't do that now because of COVID and because of virtual. So put anything on there and give it a little description so people know what it is, because we're going to teach you, I don't know, one of my favorite things called a 5-minute problem solving session next week to get you really set. I just want to share some pitfalls, and we also have a space for you to add your own pitfalls. So pitfalls that Christy and I wanted to make sure that we share with you, and we'll kind of go every other one. The first is teaching alone. Don't do it. Always make sure you have Lisa or Tony or Christy or me or your teenage kid or your cat. You've got to have somebody there to be with you so that you're not speaking into the void.
And I love thinking about, you're like, but I am alone. Get a rubber chicken and or make somebody in the participants your co-teacher, even if they're 5 or if they're 50. You can always find somebody to help co-teach if you're hanging out with more than one person. Second one, I already mentioned it today. Try to avoid starting off with housekeeping stuff. It's kind of our flow. It's our niceties. It's our way to kind of get everybody, buy them some time. We say jump right in.
That's right. Believing that cameras on equals learning. So a lot of people believe that people are not learning if their camera is off. And we gave that example, I think, on the second or first time. We asked if you were here and paying attention, who's really listening to every word, even though their cameras were off. And it was just like everybody. So remember, we get really confused with what learning looks like, and learning can very much look like cameras off.
And I do want to say too, for anybody that maybe experienced it, sometimes you have to step away from your camera. And what's really awkward and can be publicly shaming is you come back and everybody's in a small group. So make sure that your co-teacher or somebody is there to continually to greet folks and say, you might not be there or you might be able to hear me, but I just want to let you know what we're doing. So don't assume that just because the camera's off, they can't hear you or they don't want to learn. They just may not be able to type right then. They may not be able to have their camera on. So you can still talk to them as if they are there. Next one, prioritizing compliance over connection. That's that whole idea of you got to have your cameras on or you've got to chat. I'm taking a class with Stuart Schenker right now, which I love. However, every week we have to read somebody else's post and post 2 times. And now I'm 2 weeks behind because I don't have time to read other people's posts and I want to post something meaningful. So it creates this artificial barrier to my participation and learning because I have to post to somebody's post. Versus if I have something I'm inspired to say, I'll say it.
Number 5, we just want you to avoid trying to have all the answers. We get really, really hung up on being the expert on something. And you know, people are going to ask you things that you don't know. It is okay to say, you know what, put that in the chat, put that in as a question, and we'll come back around to it. If you notice, Christy and I are not doing Q&A out loud in front of everyone. Here's why. It would take forever. So it is often, especially with over 100 people, not useful to do Q&A in this way, but instead put it in writing so people can go find the answers.
And then using technology because, well, just because. So you really want to think about how is technology helping me co-create? How is technology helping me come together in community? How is technology augmenting what we're doing? So just like screen time for children, we go, ooh, screen time is bad. Well, if screen time is augmenting a relationship or augmenting their access, screen time is good. So think about that as well. Just technology doesn't have to be bad. It doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be, but it can't just be because.
And Christy, can you share the 7th one? Because I don't remember what you meant.
Well, I think you just wanted to crowdsource, meaning we wanted them to populate.
I thought it was a pitfall. I was like, I don't know how that's a pitfall.
No, it's probably just not supposed to be a number.
Okay, so on the Padlet, if you have pitfalls, can you please share them? Because we just want everybody to be even more prepared for the work. We know it's time to end, so we're zipping to our ending right now. And our very last ending today is different. On a single piece of paper, write your word that comes to mind. This is what I did during
the break. We wrote ours ahead of time.
Yep. And
so find a piece of paper.
Yep, hold it up to the camera and smile. So some of you are like paper.
Oh, you gotta stop sharing your screen, Julie.
I will. Some of you are just saying like, where is my paper, et cetera. So find it, find a marker. Posca markers are great for this particular activity. What is your word for today?
And connect, we'll inspire. What else? People are still writing rad. Yeah. All right, Alicia. Laura, what is yours?
Creative energy. Laura Crosby, yeah, help us.
I said ideas.
Ideas, all right, get it in the light in there, that's great. Roberta, what's yours? Encouraged, got it. Happy, Jennifer. Speedy, that's a good word. Happy, good.
Love.
And Gwen, scroll through and see inspiring relationships, lots of relationships, thoughtful, engaged, ready. Oh, Diana, ready. Good.
Christy, do you mind taking a screenshot, or Tony Ann?
I'll grab it off the video. It's okay.
Okay, no worries then. So this is a really fun thing to do. You can just take a screenshot, or Christy's fancier than me, and so she's going to pull it from the video. But let's all pause with your smiling faces really quick one last time.
I'll do it anyway, yeah.
So I'll say three and get your best face on, or the, like your kookiest face. It doesn't matter to me. One, two, three. Okay. I wanted my tongue out because that seemed fun.
Yeah, you did. I got it. So if you love, you got to go, hit the leave button. If you want to stay around, ask a point of clarification. We'll keep it recording. I'll capture it in my audio recap so you know what we ended with. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. So anytime, hit the love, you got to go button. And then if you've got a question, unmute yourself, drop it in the chat. Requests, wonderings, repeats.
I had a quick question. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're good. Go for okay. it.
How long, once we finish, because next week I believe is our last meeting, how long will we continue to have access yeah. to the dashboard? Because my ability to even really dig through
forever.
Okay. I'm like freaking out thinking my window of time is closing and I'm like, ugh.
No, sweetie, you have everything forever. The only thing you don't have forever are recordings.
Sure.
The visual ones, but the big idea audio that I do afterwards forever. So all the handouts, the Padlet, the downloads, the audio, everything forever.
Okay.
Okay.
Bless you.
No, but thank you for asking and to make sure that will make your system feel soothed, right? Now you feel safe, seen, soothed, and secure.
Yeah. So you can go it's back just in.
One little block off the bio and I'll take it.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Glad we could do it. Anybody else? Was there someone else that had a question, or did you drop something in the chat? Did I miss it? Good.
I have a quick question. Do you ladies do individual coaching?
Yes. Do you mean like from a leadership perspective? Yes. And from PD perspective? Sure.
I mean, like, yeah, like, could I just hire you for a few hours and just go through like rapid fire stuff? Questions?
Sure. Okay, that would cool. be fun. We could have lunch together or beer, whichever is necessary.
Both.
Yeah, Alicia, okay. just write to us. We'll work something out with you. Somebody asked about, Lisa, are you still here? Did you want to ask that? Was that you, Lisa Jones? Sorry, not Lisa Conley. Yeah, Lisa, ask your question.
So the whiteboard in mm-hmm. Zoom, have either of you ever used that?
Yeah.
And do you like it or had success? Any tips?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I learned this from Isela Garcia, and I'll be sure to put some links in the chat. So on the Zoom matrix, it also shows you when you would use the dry erase board and when you wouldn't. So that's a good place to start. Tony, if you can drop the link to the Zoom matrix in there.
Thank you for saying dry erase board. I'm sorry.
Say again?
Thank you for saying dry erase board.
No, that's just me.
I'm trying. I'm working.
Yeah, I'm with you, Lisa. I'm with you. Thank you for noticing. So start with that. Is it like there's a difference between using the annotations where people can like draw and the white dry erase board. So we'll get clear on that. Isela Garcia, she does this thing that my my college psychology teacher did with a overhead projector. While he talked, he wrote. And so she uses the dry erase board and she just types while she's talking. So she's like her co-teacher and she puts big ideas, and then people can annotate by circling it or starring it or voting for things with tally marks. But she does a running narrative of her own instruction. I did it the other day with a fill in the blank question. We were trying to write our personal why statements. And so it was a small group and we all got onto the dry erase board and everybody tried to fill out the formula or to complete the sentence. So it was a pretty structured activity, but you could see it in real time, everyone's, versus the chat, which you start to lose. It gives you a visual and you as the facilitator can move things around if they start to overlap. That's my quick two bits, but there's a whole community here. Others, have you used a dry erase board and had success? Yeah, Heidi, do you want to mention anything?
I use it as a great way to generate ideas, kind of a brainstorming type thing, because people can annotate. You can even set up sort of a T-chart type thing, yes, if you're wanting to get ideas. And then you can also save it. So if you want to start a brainstorming at the beginning and then you want to bring it back, circle back to it, see if there's anything you want to add or change, and those sorts of things. So yeah, definitely found use with it. And just people always love playing around with it and like drawing and annotate little stamps and things. But just to be aware that if people are on a Chromebook or an iPad, they often don't have access to the annotation section. So they might feel a bit left out.
Yeah, and people on the phone too.
Yeah.
Next week, I think we'll let you play a little bit on. So next week, what we'll do is do a little bit of dry erase board for you all, so you can experience it as a student if you haven't. And if you want, before next week, do a little bit of your own research about it or try it, so that you're one step ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. And Maria, good point. You could also do a Google Drive document, which is a similar thing, having a T-chart, having multiple contributors at the same time. And that goes back to what's your what. Are you trying to get folks to brainstorm? Are you trying to get pros and cons? Are you trying to get something that you can revisit? So all of that, Jamboard, yeah, all of those things, that's where it gets your brain going, oh, which one should I do? So for me, ground yourself in what am I trying to accomplish, then figure out which web-based tool you feel the most comfortable with. If you're like, I don't know how to do the dry erase board and I'm afraid and Chromebook and ooh, fine, do a Google Drive doc, right? Yeah, that otherwise you're just like trying to be fancy and it'll just make you nervous. And then your little flip and then nobody learns.
I would like to add something too. One of the things that I do is I have two computers going, and then sometimes I have an iPad and an iPhone, and I test it out. So one is the host and the others are participants. And so I kind of test out to see how it's going to look and how it's going to feel for these other participants. Now I have Apple products, so I don't know how to do it with PC. So I'm a little behind the curve on that one, but at least I know how it's going to look in Apple.
Yeah, Maria, that's so beautiful. And it's so generous of you, because, you know, Julie and I know it from like how we've done it. I don't mean to throw you under the bus with me, Julie, but when people are like Chromebook, we're like, oh, we're out. The great thing in that moment, remember our pitfalls, don't think you have to have the answer to everything. So you say, hey, anybody in here used a Chromebook before? Can somebody go be gopher and go Google it and come back to the meeting and give us an answer, because we're stuck, right? Use gopher. Mm-hmm. And so don't feel like in that moment that you have to have an answer or to know. You can be like, I know how to do it on my phone. Does anybody know how to do it on a? So beautiful that you've done the legwork to help so many of your folks. But if that puts some of you over the edge, then also Julie said to Lisa, hey, play around with it next week. Don't wait for us to spoon feed you. Go play with it and see where you got stuck, and then we'll get you unstuck. That's also a beautiful way. Empower folks, give them a tip.
Have a Zoom meeting with your best friend and say, during our Zoom meeting, we're going to play with this and just have fun, so that you're going to learn something and they're going to learn something.
Lisa,
yes, we miss Dan so much. So Dan is someone who was on our Summer Leadership Institute. We would so much as mention something like a book, and he would have it.
An idea.
Yeah, he would have it on the chat and everyone could go to it. I was like, he's the epic gopher. That's so funny.
And he had the best Zoom backgrounds too. I know.
We gotta figure out.
Do you guys know, can you use the dry erase board in the small group activities, like in a breakout room, and bring it back, or how does it not travel?
I just read something about that. Does anybody know that one? I'll find out, if not Adele. I know you can like record the chat. There's some settings, but I don't know if those will travel. Does anybody know? Yeah. Might be a main Zoom room thing.
Adele, I don't think it does. We tried testing it out to come back. And okay. The same with the chat in the breakout rooms.
It might be a setting. Yeah,
I had a feeling, but I was.
Yeah. And the funny thing about Zoom is they're changing stuff all the time, y'all. So don't always trust what I know, because I'm not the hippest person around. Don't let my cute hat fool you.
Sarah asked a great question. Do you have any fun timers that you use during breaks and are self-paced activities? Mm-hmm. I don't, but I'm curious if anyone here has one. If so, let us know what they are. Like really good effective timers. I'm thinking you're meaning visual timers.
Yeah, I've actually, there's a lot of free online classroom ones that are like little races and, you know, different types of, you know, like hourglasses and stuff like that. So I've been just trying to find some fun ones that don't have ads, because one time I used one and it was like a 10-minute break and all of a sudden at 5 minutes, like it started blaring with some crazy ad. And thankfully I was right by the computer to correct it. But I was just curious if folks have some ideas.
Yeah, so I've got a couple comments. Supreme, is that how you say it? Will you say it? Yeah, Supreme.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Thank you. Supreme says that YouTube has some, so that's a thing. Tony Ann blocks all her ads on YouTube. So if you're like, but I don't want ads, Tony Ann can tell you how to block all the YouTube ads. I have done old school stuff that I have to think about for a while, Sarah. But just like we do the slideshow in Google Slides, you can have a PowerPoint that is timed in a way that's showing the minutes, mm-hmm. and that stays up on the slide. I usually, lately, I would say all I do is tell folks the time on the clock and the number of minutes, and then I just ask folks to set their own timer.
Okay. And do you know if you can, I mean, maybe this is just a Zoom has to catch up if they want to catch up, is it would be nice to have a timer option to give for people in the breakout room. So it's not just us prompting when they've got warnings and a countdown.
I said something about that. I'm a look too. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I was in training where we were in breakout rooms and the timer was on the screen. Right?
There is. Yep. I was too. Janice Fialka and I were doing one in California and somebody had a counter on it. So yeah, you're right, Sheila. There's got to be a way.
And it might just be a back end Zoom setting that
it might be.
I also want to find
out. And Lisa's got something going on here. Okay, good. So people are already adding some ideas and your meditation timers. We'll put that on there too and make sure that it gets aggregated, Sarah, onto the handout so you don't have to mine for all of these comments. I'll aggregate a place about timers and get some answers about what Zoom features are built in. Yeah.
We can put it on the Padlet too.
Yep. Okay.
A question. It got pushed up, but I was just wondering, do you guys use webinar or meetings when you do your Zoom sessions?
We use meetings because we love to see you.
And then how did you guys get like the raise hand and the yes, no feature in the meetings? Because we don't, Adele, I think you can help me with this one. I don't think we have that feature on our work account. Mm. Is it like a special thing that you add on?
Well.
No, we don't have, we have like different icons, but not yes, no.
No, I can answer that. And if you can't set it in the Zoom app, but if you go on the browser, go through the Zoom application through your browser and you go to settings, one of them is, what's it called? It's not obvious. The name of it, the setting is not obvious, but it's like reactions or yes, something like that. And you have to just toggle it on.
I'm just wondering, I know what setting you're talking about. I'm just wondering if the Canadian Zoom is different than the US Zoom.
Now. Oh.
Because I know what feature you're talking about and I have not seen,
you've never seen it.
Add-ons. Yeah.
Yeah.
That I don't know. My other question is, how big is your Zoom room? So ours is 1,000. So maybe it changes based on what you're paying for.
Okay. That's I would another, have to ask my manager about then. Yeah.
Yeah. Question. I don't know.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. No, these are good.
Hey, any other questions? This is Skippy John Jones, the world's best cat. Reactions gives an options for emojis.
Can I just ask, I've still not been able to figure out how to add music to my slide rotation thing.
So Heidi, this is the deal. They're not actually attached. They're going simultaneously.
So Spotify is happening. When you share your screen, you have to click that button that says activate audio.
That's all.
Spotify is happening and the slideshow is happening. And okay. Today, this morning, Tony Ann was in charge, so Christy and I could be focused on you all.
Okay, so I'm not going crazy. I was trying to figure out.
No,
you might be.
There might be a way, a really sophisticated yeah. way that you've timed music with slides and videotaped it, and then you play the videotape. But gosh almighty, that would be a lot.
Well, okay. There's also a way to add music into your PowerPoint presentation if you're right. using PowerPoint, but it's not worth the time to upload it and import it and embed it if you can just have them both going at the same
time. Right? That's what I was thinking too, Sarah. Like, that's a lot of production.
If you were going to do it over and over and over again, you might want to create it,
yeah.
but I wouldn't do it for a one or two time thing.
I do that for like our breaks. So I'll have we have vision breaks and like 20-second breaks, and I'll put in a 20-second snippet of music so
yeah.
people can do what they want to do. And then when the music stops, that's their cue to come back. And it's Genius. Embedded in the PowerPoint.
Right. And so just think about all that you're saving. So when you're running a professional development, and Maria is, she's not thinking about what's the right song for this moment. Because most of the time in my head, I'm like, I have to pee. Like, that's what I'm thinking about. And not like, what's the right music? So she's done that work up front. So she can take a break too. That's fabulous.
Yep. If anybody sees something pop out behind me, the world's worst dog is like climbing all over me. Do you want to say hi? Looks a lot like Julie's cat, but Two eyes.
That's he's so cute.
Are you cute?
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Bye. Yeah. Sheila, you saying bye? Okay. I didn't know if you were asking a question. Anything else for the good of the order? Yep. If people got to go. I think everybody should write down Maria's name and go ask her questions.
Okay. Maria, will you co-teach with us? That'd be great.
Okay, well, just know that we will get all this goodness from the chat. We'll do an audio of the big ideas from today. You'll have lifetime access to everything. And then we'll see you on Monday, next Monday.
Have a great week, everyone.
Hi, Tammy. Bye, Tammy. All right. Bye, Miss Sarah. We'll stay on for just a second, crew.